So the gospel that is picked today for this great feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, is the gospel of John. And in John's gospel, there is no institutional time after the or during the Last Supper. There is a prayer for unity in the end of the gospel, a beautiful prayer where Christ prays for his disciples. And prays in a special way that they will be steadied in this great moment of tragedy and loss, his death. So John 6 is in fact the place of the gift of Eucharist in John's Holy Gospel. And what's happened is he had just fed 5,000 people the night before. He had spent the day with them and they were out in some godforsaken part of the desert land and there was no food. And so right at the end of the day, after a very long and grueling day, he turns to his disciples and he said, "Is there any food?" And they give a few little fish and a couple of loaves of bread. That's all they had. And so our Lord multiplies the bread and the fish. And they each person receives their fill. And there are baskets left over. That's what happened. So the next morning, he is now in Capernaum, which is the city just on the top of the Sea of Galilee. And he's preaching in the synagogue in that temple. And all of a sudden, the town swells from just a few hundred fishermen to 5,000 people. They're looking for him. And what are they looking for? His message? No. They're looking for the bread and the fish. But not only are they looking for the bread and the fish, they want to know how he did it. How he took the fish and multiplied it. How he took the bread and multiplied it. Because they didn't want to work again. They wanted just to be able to get the fish and the bread multiplied every day and provide for them a life of leisure. And so our Lord turns to these 5,000 people and he says, "You're barking up the wrong tree. I'm not going to tell you how I did it. And I'm not going to give you more fish and more bread. I've done that. You've been fed. But what I want to say to you is, if you are looking for life, if you're looking for the real food and the real nourishment that will provide for you all that you need for life and life eternal, then eat my flesh and drink my blood." So 5,000 people look at this guy and say, "He's got to be out of his mind. Are we going to eat his flesh and drink blood? We're not carnivorous people. We're not people that are looking to eat flesh and drink blood." So they quarrel among themselves, the scriptures say. They can't believe what he's just said. And they walk away. So here our Lord is saying to them, "You've heard what I had to say, I fed you, and now I want to give you the very most precious gift of all, my flesh and my blood to eat and drink." And they walked away. 5,000 people. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was building a good crowd around me, 5,000 people, and you know, things were getting a little better, and people were beginning to listen to me, and I'd probably do a little song and dance to keep them. But he doesn't do that. He wants them to know that the real bread and the real drink is the very person that is speaking to them. And so as they walk away, the disciples are there, and this is the turning point in John's gospel. As they walk away from Christ, dismayed by what he just said, unable to understand or believe what he was giving, he turns to his disciples, to the 12, and those around him, and he says, will you also leave me? And Peter stands before the Lord, this great man of faith, and says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so John says, they are the ones who stayed with him while the crowds begin to peel away. So today we're celebrating that part of the Eucharist. The gift that John describes as the gift of life. And we as Roman Catholics believe with all our hearts that what we receive today is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a commemoration. It's not some euphoric moment where we remember the birth of Jesus. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa says to her sisters every morning after their hour of prayer and the Eucharist together, she said, just as you've received with such reverence and such belief in your hand, the body of Christ, I want you to go out now and treat those who have the least among this world with the same respect, because they too are the body of Christ. So I think it's a twofold message today. I think it's definitely about the Eucharist, about the body and blood of Christ, about our belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as his most precious gift. But it's also about how we treat each other, how we serve the poor, how we're willing to go out and help people who are in great need and need some support and care and love. So let me quote another pope besides Francis today to you. This is John Paul. He was in Peru, and he was a bit younger in those days and had a little more vitality, a little more juice. And there were 2 million people at this great event that he was conducting, his prayer. And he said that in the midst of this throng of 2 million people, it wasn't a cardinal or some head of state that had got up to welcome him. Instead, it was Irene and Victor Charo, two very poor people selected to welcome the Holy Father. And they said, Holy Father, we are hungry. We are sick. We lack work. Our children die before their time. Yet, Holy Father, we believe. We believe in the God of life. And we hunger for bread. Before a hushed crowd, John Paul, in his best Spanish, went to the microphone and he said, you tell me you hunger for bread. Yes, yes. 2 million people shouted back at him. You tell me you hunger for God. And 2 million people again swelled in one loud cry of yes, yes. And he said, I want this hunger for God to remain, but I want the hunger for bread to be satisfied. And then he said, he turned to the folks who were sitting in the front pews of the assembly, those who were the privileged. And he said, I won't say simply share what you have. I will say to you, give it back. Give it back. It belongs to the poor. So my brothers and sisters, this great feast of the body and blood of Christ, when you come and receive the Eucharist in your hand tonight, I hope you receive it with great devotion and great love. It's a great moment each week to receive our blessed Lord in the Eucharist. But it also should challenge us each day to keep our eyes and our hearts open to people who have so far less. who need that gift to be received as the body and blood of Christ with reverence, and then to return that gift to them. I was at a dinner at St. Joseph's Center this week, and there's a young man there named Derek. And Derek is a chef. He won Chops. So you gotta know he's gotta be good, right? Chops? Do you know you don't know Chops? How many know Chops? It was Chopped, not Chops. I'm sorry, Chopped. That's what I know about it. I sound and felt like I was very impressed, but because he said it was terrific, so there it was. But obviously this guy could be in Spain, he could be in Paris, he could be anywhere. He is one of the great chefs that we know. But he's made a decision. And his decision is to stay at St. Joseph's Center. And his decision is to take 150 people every year, people who have no jobs, people that are hungry, people that are without work, people who are down on their luck, people who have made mistakes, he brings them in. He gives them a course in chefing. He has entrees to all the best restaurants and hotels in this city. He sends them out as interns. They come back and they do their final time with Derek. And out of that 150 every year, for several years now, at least 100 of those people find a job working as a chef somewhere in this city. Showed me his arm the other day. He's a big guy. And tattooed on his arm is Mark 8, verse 1. It's the feeding of the 5,000. So my brothers and sisters, I take leave of you. Going to go to Africa this Saturday, to Nairobi, Kenya. We have several of our people who are going to Africa with me and others who have been to Africa. And we're going to spend 10 days in probably the poorest part of the poorest part of this world. This will be my, I think, 11th trip. I think we've gone 12 times. This is my 11th trip. And I've enjoyed the opportunity to go there, not because I enjoy travel, because I don't like to travel anymore. It's a lifetime to get there and back. And I enjoy the opportunity because I love to meet my brothers and sisters who are so incredibly in love with God and with our community. Don't even know who we are and love us so much because of the great things that your generosity and your goodness have done. And so my brothers and sisters, whatever you can do, whatever little bits and pieces that you can somehow this week think about. I know you're running and I know you're working and I know you're doing all kinds of social and big things in this world. But take some time. Take just a little time somewhere this week and take that gift of Eucharist that you've received with reverence tonight. Treat someone as you've treated the body of Jesus Christ with the same love and the same blessing. That's my hope. So I'm going to invite our people from Africa, if you would stand now and come up. We're going to send you off with some great prayer. I'd like to have those who are going in the front here and the people that have been in back. So if you could stand right together, we'll do that now. They get 10 more days of me. How about that? These poor people. So the people that are going on the trip in the front, those who have been on the trip, please stand in the back, if you would. I have all these great memories of these wonderful people who have journeyed with us. And as a result of their being present to those people, have joined a little group that we have in our parish called African Ministry. We support the facility that they have there for the AIDS women. There's 300-400 AIDS women, women with that disease, coming regularly for food that's given to us by this parish of ours. We have a dispensary, huge dispensary, where all the medicine for that whole entire area takes place right there on that, in that parish. We have a school of over 700 kids that have the extraordinary gift and blessing of a time there. John and Margaret, get up here. You've been in Africa. People who are on the garbage dump, sniffing glue because their minds are so distorted by their hunger, being brought off that dump and brought into a school and then given a home to be able to spend some time with. It's an amazing community, my brothers and sisters. And we will join them in these days that are ahead. So we pray for you and we pray for your patience with me in these days. And pray in a special way for the gift and blessing that you are to, what is it, 35,000 people living in that community who love us, and we certainly love them. So I'd invite the rest of you to stand and join your hands and bless them as we pray. We bless you, O God, and we praise your name. In your merciful love, you sent your Son into the world to enrich us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Before he returned triumphant over death to you, Father, he commissioned the disciples to go out and be bearers of love and power, to proclaim the gospel of life to all people, and in the waters of baptism to cleanse those who believe. Lord, look kindly on the community of St. Monica who are here tonight, and our Holy Cross brothers and sisters in Dandura, Nairobi, Kenya. Over the past 12 years, you have blessed our friendship, built relationships, and ultimately and finally, together we've changed the face of their community and ours. Guide our steps with your powerful hand and with your grace. Strengthen us in spirit so that we may not falter but may continue to grow strong in your grace and in your favor. Help our words echo Christ's voice so that those who hear them may be drawn to the gospel. Fill the hearts of both of our communities, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, so that they may witness the power of your love, and help us at St. Monica to learn the message of simplicity that our people of Africa witness to us, and help our brothers and sisters in Africa to know the strength of your love, and bless all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, folks. It's wonderful. I know there's been a little nervous energy around our journey. I got a great email from Andrew, Father Andrew, today. He walked through the streets of Nairobi yesterday in our name just to make sure that the place felt safe and looked safe. And he said there's lots of tourists and lots of good feelings. So we go there with that comfort and that grace, and we will be together. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.